Spring into deals at Lowe's. Shop select 1.5-gallon annuals hanging baskets, 2 for $15, for the perfect addition to Mom's garden. Plus, get 3 free bags of Miracle-Gro 0.75 cubic foot garden soil when you buy 3. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/6, excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Tony and Jenny Brewski here from Real Ghost Stories Online. There has never been a better time than now to be an EPP, extra podcast person, to Real Ghost Stories Online.
There's more exclusive content than ever before.
Plus, our new EPP website is up and running where you can access all of our exclusive content anywhere you want on any device. Exclusive video, all of the archived episodes. It's all there when you sign up to be an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
It's only $5 a month.
And that goes to keeping our show on the air and alive. Sign up now, become an EPP, and enjoy all of the bonus episodes for yourself when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Just click Become an EPP. We're getting close to the month of Halloween, and as we get closer, I can't help but think back to some of the best stories that we've gotten on the show. And one of my favorite authors to our show, contributors to our show, Oscar in Dallas. He is the author of the ghost clown story, and which is just a horrific zombie ghost clown experience that he had in his life. And last year on Halloween, we were able to sit down and have an hour-long conversation with him and ask him about those experiences that he went through with that zombie ghost clown story and many other stories that he has encountered in his very, very haunted life. So today's episode of the show, as we get in the mood for Halloween, is an encore presentation of that interview that we had with Oscar last year on Halloween. Sit back, relax. If you're a new listener to the show and were not with us last Halloween, you are in for a great episode with some really, really great stories. If you want to get spooked out and just creeped out, this is going to be a good episode for you. Enjoy. This is our Oscar episode from Halloween of 2014.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hour number two of our Halloween special, Real Ghost Stories from Real People at Real Ghost Stories Online. And this involves some zombie stories this hour.
It sure does.
With our friend Oscar in Dallas, who is the person who wrote in to us earlier in the year with the zombie ghost clown story that's just slightly disturbing, one of the most disturbing stories of the year. And he's got more than just this story. He had another one not that long ago. We talked about
the Pigman.
The Pigman story. Yes. So there's been some messed up stuff in this man's life, to put it lightly. Freaky ass shit, as I would call it. Anyway, he's joining us today at Real Ghost Stories Online for hour number two to recount in his own words some of those stories and more of what's gone on in and around those stories and other events in his life. So just to kick things off here, Oscar, Oscar in Dallas is joining us via Skype this evening. Oscar, I'm just going to have you kick off the show with us in hour number two here at Real Ghost Stories Online by talking about that famous story that you wrote into us about the zombie ghost clowns.
That's fine. All right. I have to add something to it. My aunt recently, we were at a dinner, mm-hmm. and my aunt, you know, my brother was bringing up the ghost clown thing. Mm-hmm. But before he did, my aunt stopped and he goes, you know, God, I have a ghost story myself. was when I was 15 years old, living in the same house in Mexico, by the way. She saw the ghost clown too.
So really?
It's not an isolated incident with us. She's actually seen him.
Like still?
Well, she saw him when she was 15 years old in the kitchen. Same scenario as mine, you know, except that when she was young, she went to the kitchen to get some water at like around 3 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
She said she saw a clown. And she doesn't even know our story. She's never heard of us even talk about a clown. And my brother, you know, he was like, oh, my God, you saw the clown, too. He goes, yes. He goes, I saw him when I was 15 years old. So I'm thinking it has to be something older than that. You know, it has to be something that's for years or for who knows how long.
So this is something that she would have experienced before you experienced a ghost clown.
Yeah, my aunt's like 60 years old.
Wow.
So that clown's been there ever since. So who knows? I don't think it's a clown. I think it's some kind of, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's backtrack a little bit to the beginning of your experience. And I know I kind of like already said what it's about, but let's just start at the beginning because I know a lot of our listeners have probably already heard the story, but I want to hear it from your own mouth and your words. Let's hear the ghost clown story. What happened?
All right. Well, it happened many, many years ago. I think I was around 8 or 9 years old. And every year my parents used to go to Mexico. And it was a tradition. It was like family vacation. And we always used to go around September, which is the fair day for them. Like, you know, there's fair days for, well, it was a fair day for that little town called San Felipe. And it was a beautiful fair. You know, they have vendors, they have clowns, they have rides. You know, it's pretty much a fair, but in Mexico. And we love going there because, you know, it's the first time our families get together. You know, it's a big family event. So, you know, well, we all stay in one house, which is my grandpa's house. And my grandpa, you know, he's a very tough man. Well, he's passed away a long time ago, but he's a very big, broad man. He's very military style guy. He's very direct, doesn't laugh, doesn't cry, doesn't do anything. He's really tough. My dad's the opposite. My dad's very friendly, very nice. So besides that, so we're staying with my grandparents. And the day it happened, I remember this because we were all staying in one bedroom next to my grandparents' room. And so what happened is that, you know, it was that one day with all the clowns come in town or all the circus people, you know, they get in a caravan and they roll down the streets and stuff. You see animals in the streets and stuff, whatever. Well, what I didn't tell you in the story is that they come down a freeway. Because we're on the edge of town, so and the main street comes in, and so all the major traffic come in through the same little channel. Remember, this is a small town; it's not a city; it's a small town. So all the big like trucks use that same road. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, some guy lost control, hit one of those cars. People fell off and died. We didn't know this. We're just kids, you know. We're just enjoying summer, and well, we thought it was just part of the show. You know, like, hey, you know. You know, they're clowns. They fell on the floor. They're dead. You know, we didn't know that. You know, we didn't comprehend that. So yeah. I don't know how I didn't comprehend that, but we, you know, we saw it and, you know, we started laughing and pointing, you know, and then we realized it wasn't a joke. You know, this is actually real stuff. So we, you know, my brother, which is, his name's Juan. He's my older, he's a year older than me. And he's very mean. Even to this day, he's very, we're like polar opposites. I'm a super nice person. He's super mean. So anyways, but when this happened, he started pointing, laughing. And he said that the clown turned around and looked at him. And he freaked out. My brother's really tough. Not like me. You know, I'm a scaredy cat. If I would have seen that, I would probably pee my pants. Yeah, but I didn't. You know, my brother did. And I believe him because he doesn't play around. Mm-hmm. He doesn't make stuff up. And so we went back inside the house and we're freaked out. You know, we you know, we finally caught on to it that it was a real event, you know, somebody died. You know, you don't, when you're a little kid and you see stuff like that, you don't really process it right. You know, you just, not till later on when you think about it, like, oh, damn, you know, somebody died, you know. Well, anyways, that night, my brother was really scared and we were scared, to tell you the truth. So we all stayed in one little room. With my older cousin, she was our babysitter. Her name was Naomi, and she was 15 years old. She was the oldest one from the whole kids. So we all stayed in one little room. It was my cousin, Naomi, my brother, myself, and my little cousin. And we all stayed in one big king-size bed in this one room that had this had the door, had the main door, which pointed to my grandfather's room, and it had the kitchen door, which pointed to the kitchen. And this door was, you know, it was pretty wide. It was made out of old wood. It had a baseball-sized hole and right on top where people used to grab it or open it. It didn't have, like, a doorknob. It was one of those really old rickety doors where you pushed. And, you know, and we kind of liked it because we could just go in and grab milk or grab whatever from the kitchen, which is fine. But that night, I remember we didn't have air conditioning, so it was really hot. And in Mexico, it's weird because it's kind of like California weather, you know. In the evening, it's really warm, and at night, it's really cold. So that day, we're really hot. We're sweating. I remember getting up, I was sweating, and we got up around my brother got up around 3 o'clock in the morning, and he asked my cousin, hey, can you go with me and get some water? And remember, he woke us all up, and I remember thinking, you know, I got up and I was scared. You know, I didn't want to wake up at that time, you know, and my little cousin was holding on to me, and we were at the edge of the bed, and they were like in the other side of the bed, and they got up and they woke us all up, and they went to the, you know, to the kitchen. I remember thinking, you know, I was like, you know, really, you need some water now? You know, because we're scared. You know, we've just been through a traumatic event, and we didn't want to get up. And my cousin opened the door, and the first thing we see is this guy sitting on a chair. And I remember this vividly because he was sitting looking at the wall, like waiting for something. And I remember thinking, you know, I was thinking, like, hold on, nobody should be there. You know, it's not my parents. You know, it's nobody's there. This guy, he looked like a mask. But it wasn't like a bozo mask. It was more like a mime. You know, like you see a mime. You know, he had like that kind of mime thing. You know, he was wearing black or gray or something.
Sure.
He had white gloves. He was bald headed, bare. And we saw from the back. And then he turned around. I remember that look he gave us, like he wanted to eat us. Like, he wanted to. You know, he had this look in his face where it wasn't a smile, and it wasn't it was like a grin. You know, kind of thing. And remember, he showed his teeth, and his teeth looked like, I don't know, it seemed like they were rotting away, but they were pointy, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And he turned around, and I remember seeing his face. He had a round face, but his nose was red, but not like a bozo nose. It was nose like somebody punched him, mm-hmm. You know? And he had like a beard, and I know he had paint on his face because his lips were red. He had a stubble face. And he looked at us, and his eyes got wide, and he ran toward us, like leaped at us. And my cousin closed the door, and then she held it because she was a big girl. Don't get me wrong. She wasn't like a skinny girl. She was a really big girl. So she put her body against it. My brother put his body against him. And then the door just – when he hit the door, it literally almost knocked the door out of its hinges. And my cousin, like, you know, we got up, and we start closing the doors and stuff, and – my little cousin started crying. And I remember thinking, oh my God, we're going to die. You know, this is like a, you know, when this happened, it was seconds. It wasn't like minutes. It seemed like a long time, but we ran there. And I remember thinking, we can't hold this door forever, you know? And this guy was pushing the door. Like he wasn't trying to open. He was just ramming himself against it. And the door would go, push, you know, it would open. Mm-hmm. It would open like this much. It'll close. It was open. We wouldn't let him in, you know? I remember thinking we're gonna die, you know, and I always people say, why is the zombie? No, it was the actual physical person. It was somebody there. You know, it wasn't like a ghost because the ghost would have walked in, you know. Well, anyways, and he suddenly stopped. You know, there was no sound, nothing. He would just suddenly stop, and then we see a hand come to the little hole, and he's trying to grab us, you know. He's trying to like reach out and trying to grab us. And I remember thinking, oh my God, he's trying to grab us. We're trying to duck and we're trying to push. And then he finally stopped again. And then we saw his eye in the door like this, like trying to see us, you know. And he told us in Spanish. He goes, déjame entrar, you know, like, let me in. I just want to play. But he said it in such an evil way, you know, like, it wasn't like, hey, kids, no. He said, let me in. Like, let me in, stop fighting me, you know, let me in. And we started crying. I mean, I almost peed my pants. You know, I was a little kid. I almost literally freaked out. I remember thinking, we're going to die. You know, we're literally going to die. My parents are upstairs, and there's no way. Because, see, in Mexico, the walls are real thick. They're not like sheetrock. These are stone walls. Yeah. And you can scream all you want. You're not, nobody's going to hear you. And we started screaming, you know, and my grandpa came out, you know, my grandpa came out real fast, and he had a gun, and he goes, who's there? We're going to, you know, whoever's there is going to shoot you. And he had a big dog. I remember he had a huge, like, German Shepherd that always stayed with us, you know, and he let him go, and the dog started beating something up. He'd be like, rah, rah, rah. He started fighting something. We were too scared to move. My grandpa ran into our room to see where we were, and then he ran back this way around the hallway, because it was kind of like a U-shape. You know, the two rooms were together. The kitchen was over here, and then we had a garden in the middle. This all happened in the garden. And then the dog started barking and started fighting, and all of a sudden we heard, you know, just silence again. And then my grandpa went over there, and then we heard somebody running. They just, like, you know, like, they just ran upstairs, and, you know, they ran up, because it's three stories, so we heard somebody run and jump off the balcony and then into the floor, you know. And we're thinking, whoever did this had to break his legs, man. He had to break his legs, because the three-story fall on pure concrete, you know, no matter what you are, if you're an acrobat, I don't care what you are, you will break your legs. And then we opened the door to see who's there, and nobody was there. My grandpa was like, with his gun and stuff, and we were freaked out. We're really freaked out. My grandpa's looking around, and we noticed certain smells in the kitchen. You know, we noticed, like, you know, when you kill it, when it's a dead animal in your house, you know, you get that real musty smell. And the funny thing about it is that whenever this thing was, it got really cold. I remember I told you it was really hot, but that is, it got really freaking cold, like so cold. We were scared, you know, my grandpa went looking around. Everybody woke up in the house. They were looking. They called the cops, and the cops came over, and they're like, you know, it was a ratero, which is a burglar. You know, they're saying it was a burglar. And we're telling them it's not a burglar. It was not a burglar. And the guy was like, well, we don't see an entry point. You know, either the guy scaled three stories and jumped in, or he was already in the house. Mm-hmm. They were betting he was in the house, but he wasn't in the house, because we had a dog. The dog would have smelled him out.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, but, you know, later, years later, my grandfather actually admitted it. You know, he says that, you know, he told us that whatever it was wasn't human. Whatever it was that night wasn't human. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. I mean, we never saw him again. We never actually went back. It was, you know, that was the last year we ever went back to that house. You know, but, you know, like, again, my aunt, which is my grandfather's older daughter, saw him too. Saw the same clown, same. He described him to the T. And we never told her that story ever. And I was trying to get my brother to come here to explain this side of the story, you know, because he actually experienced it too. He actually brought it up, because I asked him, hey, man, you know, one day I had talked to him, like, I remember this thing that happened to us. I don't know if you remember. I wanted to see if it was, I don't know if I made this stuff in my mind or if it's true. No, because you guys, I was 9 years old at the time. Sure. And he goes, no, it really happened. I was there. You were there. My cousin's there. And then so we went to my cousin's house, and we were asked, do you remember what happened this day? She goes, what, the clown? He goes, yes. So I don't even have to explain to her. She knows. She's seen this. You know, it's a life-changing experience. You know, when you see something like, it's like seeing Bigfoot. You know, nobody believes you at all. No, I've told this story to so many people. Oh, you're crazy. You're making this up. No, I wish I was making that up. You know,
What do you, looking back on it all these years later, what do you think it was specifically?
I think it was a demon or something. I think it was actually a real physical, because, you know, it wasn't human, that's for sure. And it wasn't a burglar. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't. It had a physical features. It had physical, you know, it could have grabbed us. You know what I mean? I mean, it left a stench. You know, it smelled foul. It was so foul that my grandfather tore the kitchen down and rebuilt it just because that smell was kept on, you know, coming, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what it was, to the truth. You know, always through the years, I always thought it was a burglar, you know? Mm-hmm. But it couldn't have been. No way.
No. I mean, after that experience, because you said that your aunt had experienced it, something like that, or that same thing prior, did you hear any stories, or was there any stories after that of that same entity making itself known to anyone else in your family?
Well, on the street that... on the same street we lived on, there was this legend of this guy that used to appear on the corner of the street. And it's funny because that street we lived on was a big street, but it didn't have any street lights. So it's always dark in there. So nobody would walk through that street. You know, I don't know if that's anything to do with this story. It was like an urban legend in that little town. You know, like El Muerto salía, you know, the devil would appear there.
Yeah.
You know? But like I said, it's coincides with the same house, you know, in the same block. So sure. I don't know if that's anything to do with it. But no, but my aunt did tell me another story. She said that that this lady appears in that house, and that she tries to grab children. She says that she doesn't come in the house. What she does, she peeks through the window. And she sticks her hand through the window, and her hand supposedly, I've never seen this, her hand supposedly stretches out so long like a snake. And it's like a black hand, and it appears like through windows and closets. It's trying to grab kids. Mm-hmm. And my mom actually told me the same story, that when we were children, like really young, that this lady appeared on the stairs and tried to grab one of my cousins. And then she flew away, you know. But like I said, I've never seen that. And it happened in the same house, by the way.
Sure.
But, you know, in Mexico, they call them brujas, which is a witch. Uh-huh. And over there, it's, you know, if you talk to any Mexican, they'll tell you what a bruja is. You know, it's like a witch that, you know, that eats children. She has really long fingers. And
sure.
She, you know, they come out through closets. And they're like snakes because they don't really come out like her full body. Only her hand comes out. And, you know, it lurks to the floor and grabs onto the bed, and you can see that kind of like a spider, you know?
Yeah.
I never seen one, but I did experience once my father. We stayed in that house actually. When I was in college, I went back to Mexico to do some stuff with my father and my aunt, my cousin, my same cousin that was in the house at the same time, but he was 21 and I was 23. And, we went back, and my father stayed in the second floor, which is supposedly haunted too. And my aunt, my cousin stayed on the bottom floor. And we were, me and my dad, you know, my dad's macho, man. My dad's, you know, he's always worked out. He's a big guy. So we're staying upstairs in the same bed. And then right when we turn off the lights, we see these globes, like these like floating, like strobe lights. Mm-hmm. You know, just floating around. I told my dad, hey, Dad, is that like a street light? You know, like, you know, when cars are passing by, it flashes, you know, like, no, it can't because there's no windows. You know, we're literally in the middle of a concrete building, you know?
Yeah.
And, well, anyways, we try to go to sleep, right? And then me and him, you know, we're looking, and there's this window. I don't know why they have a window within a building that just shows a wall, you know? There's no window. There's a window, but... on the other side of the window, there's another wall inside the house. And I don't know why in Mexico there are houses like that, but we saw this lady appear. We saw the top of this lady's head come up from the bottom of the window. Like she was floating, you know, and my dad saw this. And my dad goes, do you see what you're seeing? Like, I see it. And she started coming out, and her skin was like gray. And I remember this day because my dad got up and ran. He ran down the stairs like, hold on, man, wait for me, you know? So we both ran on the stairs and jumped on my aunt's bed, and we told her what we saw. He goes, oh, you saw the bruja, right? He goes, I don't know who we saw, but, you know, because I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me, you know, because I saw this lady literally appear from the window coming up like this, like she's coming from the elevator, you know. She's yeah. like, and my dad saw her too. We literally ran up from downstairs. I mean, he left me, but I ran behind him, and we went downstairs. And all that trip, we stayed with my aunt in her room because we were so scared to go upstairs. But besides, and the same house, by the way, we saw the clown. But that's
I God. Mean, is there any reason for that house to have these dark things going on within it? Do you know? Do you know the background far enough?
I do. It used to be a military fort.
Okay.
The town is called San Felipe, and it was part of the Mexican Revolution.
Okay.
What? So the Spanish or the French or whoever there, they made it into a fort. It's in the middle of the town because, you know, they whoever came in, they would stop them, you know, whatever. So when the town took over it, they divided the house into four pieces. You know, so the house is actually divided into four. The fort was divided into four pieces. That's why there's three levels. And so my grandfather had one level, and that's where people got shot. Mm-hmm. You know, but they would execute them. Mm-hmm. They would put them against the wall and shoot them. Well, we got that part of the house, and we knew this. You know, we all knew this because when we first got the house, you know, you gotta understand this house has been generations in our house, so it's gone through all kinds of, you know, transformations, and people used to say there's money hitting the walls, and you know, I never found anything. So, but yeah, it's a really, 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 really old house. It was part of a military base. Okay. You know, back in the 18, maybe in Mexican Revolution. So yeah, so it's a pretty old house.
So there's been some very dark things that have happened within yes. those walls. Okay. Wow.
Hangings, shootings.
Sure, sure. Wow. Well, that answers that question pretty well as to wow. what could be going on there. Let's hear, and this is one of your favorite stories of the year.
Yes.
We would love to hear your take and you sharing the Pigman story.
Yes.
Oh, actually, the Pigman is, I just told you a little bit of that story. There's actually more to that story.
Okay.
Well, when the Pigman starts, my father had bought, well, we were living with my grandparents for a long time. You know, I was maybe like, I don't know, I was 10 or something like that. And my father finally bought a house for us. And it was down the street from my grandparents' house. At the time, there were so many retirees, you know, like old people that are retiring and dying out. So my dad used to know this old lady. And this old lady said, you know what, I like your family, I'll sell you this house. So she pretty much gave him the house, you know, in some conditions. She said, you know, if you help me move, he goes, I'll sell this house for X amount of money. My dad agreed. He says, okay. My dad was a young guy. He goes, okay, I'll help you. She didn't have any family, so she didn't have anybody to help her. So we volunteered. Hey, we'll go help you. You know, how much stuff can you have? And she had a lot of stuff, by the way. She had boxes, cats. I mean, the house more like cat urine. Oh, so, God. You know, we had to go in there and clean the whole house. But besides that, the night this happened, we literally just got the keys to the house. And we were helping her move. And she was telling us a story about her family and, you know, whatever. It got to the point where we just moved all our stuff from the living room and from our bedroom. We still needed, like, two more rooms, like the kitchen and a back room and this, like, guest room. But they were locked. She kept those rooms locked. And we're like, why would she keep these rooms locked? You know, but she just pretty much lived by herself. So, you know, the one room I was talking about was by the kitchen. I remember thinking, you know, I was maybe 10. I don't know how old I was. I was really young, though. We walked in and my dad goes, go in the kitchen and take the stuff out. It's okay. And I wanted to move into the house already because me and my brother were picking out rooms. Like, I want my own room, and he wanted his own room. But we ended up sharing a room anyway. So we were looking, and my brother was like, okay, well, you go this, and I'll do that. And we found this door behind the refrigerator. You know, we moved the refrigerator out the way, and we found this door just there. It just this door, you know, like I don't know, you find a secret door, you know. It wasn't a secret door. We knew the door was there. We just couldn't get to it. And then we tried to open it, and it was locked. It literally was locked. It had one of those old skeleton keys. We couldn't get in it. So, I told my dad, hey, Dad, we need the key to that door. He goes, okay, well, I think I know where it's at. So he goes and asks the old lady for the key. And so my brother goes with him. Now I'm just there, you know, looking around, and the door just creaks open. And I was like, oh, you know, we must have opened it somehow. So I go in there and I have the key. Because remember, I want to be the first one in there because I want to claim it for as my own. I want to be, hey, this is my room, not your whatever. So I went in there all gun ho. And I didn't have a flashlight, so we had candles. We're going like this, the candle, and that room was really, really, really dark. I couldn't even see in front of my face. Even with the candle, it seemed like it was so dark in there. And I was walking around like this, and you know, I didn't see anything. I was just boxes and boxes of stuff, and I was looking around, and as I realized, hold on, the door behind me is closed, you know? So I freak out. So as soon as I turn around, I walked, okay, let me explain. The room I walked into was two rooms, actually. It was one room, and then it connected to another room via these two double doors, or these two, like you know, two doors, like they open like this. Mm-hmm. I had walked in there, and I realized that I locked myself out. So I turn around. As soon as I turn around, I hit this fat guy. Boom, right in the face. And I ran into him, you know. You run into somebody, like, at the mall, you know, just turn around, boom, I hit him. And at first, I was thinking, hold on, nobody's here except for me and my parents. My parents are outside. And I looked, and this guy was a really fat guy, like bigger than me. I was like this, and he was like that to me, you know. He was really big. And I looked, and I remember seeing his velvet, like a vest. I remember seeing his buttons. I remember seeing his coat. He reminded me of like a preacher or something, you know. I hit him, and I looked up, and I saw his double chin, and I saw this noose around his neck. It wasn't tightly on his neck. It was just around his neck. And then I heard this pig, you know, I heard this noise. Mm-hmm. Then I turned around and run. He grabbed me from the shoulder. I remember thinking, oh, crap. So I turned around and hit him. Boom. And remember, this all happened in instants. You know, it wasn't like. It happened like really fast. I hit him, boom, it was like hitting, it wasn't human, whatever it was hitting a punching bag, you know. It was hard, you know. It was like it wasn't, when you hit a person, you feel the person, you know. This person wasn't, whatever it was like I'm punching sand, you know, like a sandbag.
Sure.
I hit him, boom, and I ran. And then I remember he was saying stuff to me like, what are you doing here? Or I forget. But anyways, I ran. And after I ran in, my candle went out. I remember thinking, I know where the door is at, because I remember I came through. There wasn't that big a room. I ran, I hit the wall, boom, head on. And then I started screaming because I couldn't find the door. You know, it was really dark in there. And I kept on hearing this guy. And then I saw my dad, boom, breaks in the door. Boy, he breaks in, but he kicks the door. He opens. And then all of a sudden, everything gets bright. You know, everything gets bright. And I realize I'm in a closet. You know, like I'm in the closet because there's a closet in there. And you know, I freak out. My dad grabs me and goes, hey, what are you doing here? You know, how'd you get in the room? It's locked. I said, no, it wasn't locked. It was open. You know, it wasn't locked. It was, I tried to get in the room and I couldn't get in. I heard you scream. So I kicked the door and then there you were. And I grabbed me, took me out. And I told him, look, man, I just freaked. I didn't want to tell him what I saw because he was so happy for the house. You know, I didn't want to tell him, hey, dad, I saw a fat ghost, you know. You understand that this is our first house, and my dad loved this house. We all love this house.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna spoil that for them, so I never told them. You know, I told my brother, but my brother's like, nah, you're stupid. You know, I didn't see anything. Well, anyways, this thing, whatever it was, I call him the pig man because every time I saw him, I heard pigs. You know, I heard pigs, and he had like a rope. And he had a pig with him. Like when I first experienced him, I didn't see the pig. I just heard him. I just saw him that he had something, like a on a leash, you know. Many years, you know, I only told you that's the first part of my pig story, but there's a lot more to that guy. That guy haunted me for a long time. for a long, long time. I remember when I was younger, he used to talk to me in my sleep. You know, he used to literally appear to me around 3 a.m. And he used to talk to me, and he used to talk to me from a corner of the room. Always. I never could see him, but I knew he was there. Looking, I could hear him breathing. I could hear the pig, you know, and then I got to a point where, you know, I stood up to him. I told him, hey, you know, I'm not scared of you. Whatever you are, I'm not scared of you. And that's when he started peering in the window. You know, he started peeing through the windows, and he started cussing me out from the outside. Because he had told me some evil stuff, man. He had told me some really evil stuff. I can't even tell you what he was telling me. He was horrible. I remember, I'm like a 9-year-old boy, you know, a 10-year-old boy. He was telling me some horrible stuff. He was telling me some horrible stuff. I remember I told my parents, and they thought I was crazy. They're like, Oscar, he goes, I'm scared because you're saying this crazy stuff. And I was like, so nobody really believed me. You know, it's like nobody, but I knew this guy was real. You know, he was real as you not. He started getting violent. He started like punching me in my sleep. I used to wake up with knots in my face. My mom's like, what are you doing? He goes, are you hitting yourself? I'm not doing anything, you know? And then, you know, finally I stood up to him and I told him, hey, you know, I'm not scared of you. Whatever you are, I'm not scared of you. And then finally he left me alone, you know? He left me alone, but he used to tell me some evil, evil stuff. And it was like clockwork. At 3 a.m, he used to appear. I used to hear the pig, you know, like, and I knew he was coming. I knew, and you know, and it's funny because I shared a room with my brother, and he never heard him. Oh, that's my son.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. And they like hearing my stories.
Cause sure.
He never bothered my brother. He only messed with me. You know, and then many years later, like many, many years later, I went off to college and came back, and I would talk to my aunt. You know, my aunt stayed in the same room I was staying in. She stayed in. She was 15 years old when this happened to her. That's my mom's sister. And she told me the same thing. She told me that when first night she spent the night there, she saw a guy hanging from the closet, you know, with a noose, and had a pig by his side. I never told her that story ever. I never told anybody that story because I was ashamed. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to tell them, hey, you know, by the way, Ollie, go over there, please.
Fine.
I never told anybody the story. And then when my aunt confirmed what I said, my aunt literally told me the same thing I did. It goes, Oscar, you saw him too? Oh my God, I saw him. You know, he haunted me.
Mm-hmm.
In the same room, by the way, the same room that was locked, you know, she saw him. She said that. She used to wake up at night. She used to hear a pig crying, you know, and she used to hear a man talk to her. But the difference between me and her is that she couldn't speak English. I could, so she must have been talking to me. She wasn't understanding what the hell she was saying. Mm-hmm. But she was really scared of that place. And to this day, she won't spend the night in that house. So it wasn't just like it was just me, you know, making this up. No, my aunt sure. saw the same thing I did. We never really talked about this until years later. You know, we were, you know, just talking to each other, and we were talking about ghosts, and she was like, "Oh my God!" He goes, "Your mom's house is so haunted. I saw a guy with a pig." I said, "Holy crap! That's the same guy I talk to all the time." You know, yeah, but I still think to this day, you know, I still think he still visits me. Yeah. You know, I sometimes I get this feeling like he's around me sometimes. You know. And I'm not scared of him anymore, you know, at all. Back when I was younger, he used to attack me. Literally, would attack me. You know, it was horrible, horrible. I could always tell it was him because he smelled mm-hmm. really bad. My ears would pop whenever he came around. You know, it was one of those. It had a physical effect on me. You know, every time I see a saw this guy. And you know, I always hear your callers about, you know, that they have anxiety and stuff. And I never suffered from anxiety until I got older. You know, now I do suffer from anxiety. Mm-hmm. And it's not because, you know, I'm an anxious person. I'm not. I just feel that, you know, whatever it is, it affects me physically now, you know.
Sure.
I, you know, I'm not a psychic. You know, people always say, oh, you know, I'm a psychic. No, I was born with this thing. You know, I believe there's two types of people in the world. This is the people that want to see a ghost and the people that actually see the ghost.
Sure.
And those people that actually see the ghost are the people that you know, they seem like they're mentally ill. Because once you see something like that, you can't unsee that stuff.
Sure.
You know, your reality changes. You know, there's me, no. There's something, there's you and something else. You know, there's, you know, all my life I've been able to see things. I mean, horrible things. Horrible. You know, I'll tell you this story. I'll tell you the story before. One time when I was a teenager, I think I was maybe 15 years old. I used to sneak over to my girlfriend's house, and I used to travel at night around 2 in the morning. Around 1 in the morning, I would leave from my house and go see her because her parents didn't like me. You know, they thought I was trash or whatever. You know, you understand back then. You know, I was from a lower neighborhood. You know, and she was a private school girl, and that's the only time we could see each other. So I wasn't scared. I seen everything by that. I seen dead things. Nothing scared me. Because, you know, my dad always told me, don't ever fear the dead, fear the living. You know, that's the people that could hurt you. So, you know, I always put that, you know, took that to heart. This is true. So I used to always travel at night to see this girl. You know, I think she lived like maybe like 4 miles away from me. So I used to take the easiest path, which is this river, this sewer thing, you know, that I used to walk through at night. And it was maybe like 3 miles long. It was the safest route there. Because if I walked up the streets, you know, they were full of gangs and murderers, whatever.
Sure.
So I would walk down this narrow little, kind of like a creek. But it was inside. It went inside like this. So you have to climb down and walk it and then climb back out to get out of it. Well, this thing stopped at a park. So I was walking, right? And going there was fine. I got there fine, right? Once I left, it was maybe 2:30. I was going headed back home. I was headed back home, and then I noticed it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I was thinking, I gotta go make it home before my mom gets awake. You know, she's gonna beat me if she sees me. You know, because my dad wakes up by 4 in the morning to go to work. So I had to be home by 3:30 ish to make sure he didn't catch me. You know, so I would walk back. And then one night when I was walking back, I saw something. I was walking back and I felt somebody behind me. And I turned around, I saw this lady walking behind me. It was this lady just walking, you know, just literally walking. I was thinking, that's odd. Why would she be walking in the creek at 2:30-ish in the morning, you know?
Yeah.
She was a young girl, man. She had long hair, a white gown. And she was just walking. And I didn't think nothing of it, right? So I was just walking. And then I turned around. And she must have been like a mile away from me. I turned around. She was maybe 2 blocks away from me. And I was thinking, hold on. How the hell did she make it that fast to me, you know? So I freaked out. I started running. Boom. I started running. And then this thing, whatever it was so close to me. She was literally maybe like 2 arm distances away from me. And this is a span of seconds. Like, wherever she was, she either was a marathon runner or she reappeared behind me. So I started running, and this thing started running behind me. I ran a mile, and I went up the stairs. And then my friend Mikey lived one of those houses. I knocked on his door, and he let me in, right? And I told him, hey, can I stay here tonight? I'm going to call my parents. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to stay here tonight. And he goes, why? He goes, something's chasing me. Something's chasing me. And he goes, okay, you can stay here. And he goes, but not in this room. He goes, why not? Nobody stays in this room. He goes, no, not in that room. And he goes, I ask him, okay, well, let me stay in your couch. He goes, okay. And he goes, well, let me tell you first why you want to stay in that room. This room was facing the creek, by the way. It was like the closest window to the creek. And I noticed that there was crucifixes, and there was the window was nailed down. And nobody would stay in that room. And I asked him, man, something's chasing me. And he goes, I know who it is. I said, who? He goes, the reason nobody stays in that room is the same reason somebody was chasing me. That's like, what was it then? He goes, my brother, my older brother. He goes, he doesn't live in his house, but he told me this story. He goes, that once he said when the window opened, and he was asleep, and this thing crawled into his window, this woman, and she got on his back, and he was telling him, "Don't look at me, don't look at me, because I'm really ugly." He goes, "You did this to me, you did this to me." And he was getting scratched on his back, and he started crying. He goes, "I didn't do anything to you." He goes, "You killed me." He goes, "You did this to me." And he started moving, and she shook him off, right? And she disappeared. Every night, she would do this to him. So what they did, they locked the door. They closed the window. They nailed it down and put a bunch of crucifixes in it. And he goes, "That's the same girl that chased you." He goes, "That's the same person that chased you. Whoever she is, she was going to get you." And I got freaked out because I didn't tell him I told him I was getting chased. I didn't tell him it was a woman. You know? I mean, it was the murder woman that was chasing you. It's like, wow. I told him, "I never told you that. You know, I never, you know, I didn't even mention the woman." I freaked out because that was the same thing. Whoever this person was, she was trying to get me. She was trying to, like, her hands were extended, you know, like, you know, she looked the Grudge. Have you seen the Grudge before?
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing. That's how she looked like. Mm-hmm. I ran up the thing. I didn't spend the night, by the way. I took off. I walked to the star. So I thought I'd rather get shot than get eaten by some ghost, you know? So that was my little ghost story. Stuff like that always happens to me. It's not so much anymore, but when I was younger, I used to see some really, really, really bad things. I used to see some horrible things. And, you know, people say they see ghosts. Mm-hmm. I saw real physical people. It wasn't like a ghost. It was... like that woman, she wasn't a ghost. She wasn't floating. She was walking. You know, she she got beat up. Like her hair was really muddy. You know, and it was really horrible. Mm-hmm. The clown guy, it was an actual person. It wasn't a ghost. I've seen some weird stuff in my life. You know, I don't know if I'm psychic or what, but I always attract these things. Doesn't matter. I recently stayed in the Stanley Hotel, and I didn't stay there because I wanted to. I stayed there because I like it. You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
I knew it was haunted, but I didn't know what rooms were haunted. You know, yeah. I just wanted to stay there. It was cool. But you want to hear that story? I have actually.
You got something that happened at the Stanley? Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I actually do. Me and my wife, we stayed because she was in a convention in Denver. Mm-hmm. And we saw a Groupon for Stanley Hotel.
Sure.
And, you know, like, we bought it, whatever, you know, $99. You know, we bought it. We wanted to stay in the hotel. We didn't really care if it was haunted. Like, whatever. And we get there, and they were overbooked. And I'm like, "Well, you know, we need a room." The guy goes, "Well, we'll give you this room." And he goes, "You trust me, you'll like it." And I'm like, he didn't tell it was haunted. He just gave us room number 2, whatever it was, 418 or something like that. We get there, right, and we walk into the gift store, and they're selling these keys, and our room number was one of these keys. And we asked, "Hey, man," he goes, "What's the deal with this key?" "Oh, man, that's the most haunted room in this place." It's like, crap. We didn't even ask for it, you know?
That's why it's on Groupon.
Yeah, it's on Groupon, man. And so, you know, we're staying 2 days, by the way. Everybody stays there one night. We stayed 2 days, not because we thought it was haunted.
Yeah.
We just wanted to visit Estes and stuff. You know?
Sure.
Best hotel there, you know. So anyways, the first night we get there, you know, have you ever been to the Stanley, by the way?
I have. Actually, my first marriage was right up there in Estes Park, and the marriage was scarier than my experience at the Stanley. But I wanted to see something at the Stanley. I stayed there one night, didn't have anything. I explored the carriage house right next door. It was open. It was empty. There was no one in there in the dark. Creepy, but never got to experience anything. So I'd love to hear what happened to you.
Well, like, we didn't know what was haunted. We didn't know anything about this place. We just knew it was a haunted room. Hey, we really didn't care. We didn't think it was going to be haunted.
Sure.
To the truth. You know, I was like, you know, I've been to really haunted places, and this place didn't give me that vibe, you know. It's like, you know, I could pick up on things. You know, like, I could pick up on ghosts. You know, I could tell you it's haunted. I didn't feel that. You know, I was telling my wife, "I don't feel anything here. You know, it's not haunted." So, you know, we fell asleep the first day, you know, around 2 something, something pulled my leg, like literally pulled my leg. And I was like, what the? And I turn around, I was like, what's going on, you know? And then I try to fall asleep again. And then somebody tugged my shoulder like this, they grabbed my shoulder. And I looked around again. I didn't see anything, you know? And I told my wife, something's in here. And he goes, go to sleep, you know? Just go to sleep. I said, all right. I'll fall asleep, and I saw his little head running like this, like a child, you know, like a little baby, like a four-year-old running across my bed. I only saw the top of his head. And I thought, something's here. And every time I would doze off, they would pull my arm or my leg or something. And then finally they pulled on my wife's leg. And she got up and goes, okay, something is here. You know, she's finally confirmed it because she, you know, she doesn't believe half the stuff I say. And so finally she gets attacked, you know, all night. This happened all night long. People were just tugging my feet, pulling my arm. It got so bad that I wanted to switch rooms. I couldn't sleep there. No way I could sleep there. I think it was like 4 a.m. finally when they stopped bothering me, or either that, I got really tired and I fell asleep. Mm-hmm. But I woke up. I don't know why I woke up, and I saw this man sitting in the chair. This man wearing like a ranger's hat, you know, one of those like Mountie hats.
Yeah, like a park ranger type thing.
Like a park ranger guy was sitting in this on the chair. Mm-hmm. He saw me. He gets up and he walks into the closet. And I saw this guy as clear as day. You know, I didn't know anything about this room. And I told my wife, you know what? We're going to take a ghost tour. I want to see what's going on here. But anyways, the next day, because we got there like on a Thursday. It wasn't a weekend. And the next day was it Wednesday? On a Wednesday? It wasn't like, because my wife had a convention the next day in Denver. So we had her like, I know it was somewhere in a week, but I just forget what it was. And we took a ghost tour, and they explained to us that on the fourth floor, there used to be a child, like they used to take care of children. And I swear I felt kids running on the street, because I have two kids of my own, you know. Mm-hmm. I know when the kids around me. And that was, you know, that was the freakiest thing I ever did. It literally, you know, I've been around ghosts, but I've never been... not attacked, but they were just trying to play with me. You know, they're like kids. They were pulling my arm. You know, they were pulling my leg. They were pulling my hair. But they wouldn't attack me if I was facing my wife. But if I was facing the wall, they would. It was a free for all. You know, it was weird. And I told the guy, hey man, you know, I got attacked in the room. Whatever it was, it wasn't the evil thing. It was. There were kids. You know, so whoever died there. We're kids.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I don't know anything about the Stanley, but sure. It's my own experience.
Yeah. I mean, compared to the other things that you've had in your life, this was like actually a fairly friendly experience, not a dark demon that was, you know.
No, it wasn't scary. Don't get me wrong. It was just annoying because you won't let me sleep.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But I've seen some, did I hear about my the black dog that appears to me?
You mentioned him.
Let me tell you why this dog appears to me. One day I get home from work, and I'm an engineer. I write software for a living, right? Mm-hmm. I get home from work and I see this big old dog. It was more like a Great Dane with a lot of hair, mm-hmm. black hair. He was laying in my yard, and I got the hose and I'm trying to hose him off, you know, get off my lawn, whatever. He wouldn't move. He would just sit there and look at me, and he would run to the backyard, and I would chase him down with the hose, and he wouldn't leave. He would not leave. For 2 days, this dog was in my yard, and my dad would call me. Hey, man, he goes, you got to get the dog away from my grandkids. He might bite them. And I finally, I finally got rid of him. And that night I go to sleep. This dog appears to me next to me. He literally appears next to me. I could smell him. You know, he smelled like wet dog. And he starts talking to me. In Spanish, he tells me, hey, I know you. I know your family. I've known all of you for a long time. I've known your grandfather for generations, you know. You, your grandfather's grandfather, grandfather's grandfather. He goes, why do you do this to me? I'm just trying to be your friend. And I couldn't say it. Like, and he goes, all I wanted for you to do is give me some food and water. He goes, I'm not here for you. I'm here for, you know, for somebody else. I just wanted to visit you. And I was like, I don't know what to say. You know, it's like, yeah. You know, I couldn't talk. I was literally stuck to my bed. You know, I couldn't talk. This thing was talking. I couldn't move. And he was telling me that he was a Nayawe. You know what a Nayawe is?
No.
A Nayawe is a witch.
Okay.
In Spanish folklore. It comes from the Aztec word. It's kind of like a shapeshifter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's supposed to be that dog. It was a black dog, right? And then he was telling me that, you know, that he knew my grandfather. He was there when my grandfather died. He was there when my grandmother died. And that he was just visiting me. You know, it's kind of weird. So I thought it was a dream, right? So, like, I woke up the next day, told my wife, and like, oh, no, you know. He goes, I didn't see no dog. You know, my wife right next to her said, I saw a dog. Anyways, I talked to my, you know, I talked to my cousin Richard, which is, he's older than me. He's like maybe like 20 years older than me. And I was telling him my story about my dog. And he was like, oh, my God, Oscar, you saw him too? He goes, I saw a big black dog when my grandfather died. He goes, he was in the funeral. He appeared in the funeral. He appeared when he was dying. He appeared in the hospital. Not in the hospital. He was outside. And then my aunt, Nico, my dad's sister, he goes, I saw a big black dog too. He goes, I saw the dog waiting for us, you know, outside the door. We were scared of him. We're like, what is this big black dog doing out there? You know? And we never exchanged this story, by the way, ever. I just happened to mention that I saw a big black dog. And I understand the reason he showed up. One of my dad's cousins had died that day. And he was there for him. But I didn't know that. I didn't know his cousin. And so I told my dad, and he was like, Dad, I saw this big black dog. And he goes, I know why, because my cousin died. You know, he died. And he was, remember, he told me he wasn't there for me. He was there for somebody else.
Yeah.
He just visited me.
He's just visiting. That's not exactly the type of visitor you want.
I know. I was like, why me? You know, why do you want to visit me? You know, and he told me why he was visiting me. He goes, so only certain people can see me, you know, and you're that person. And I was like, I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, people, you know, like my aunts from Mexico, they call me a don. A don is somebody that was born with a certain gift. Mm-hmm. You know, I could feel people's pain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you're sick or dying of cancer, I could. You don't have to tell me you're sick. I know you're sick. You know, I smell people's sickness. You know, like that's why I hate going to Walmart. I hate going to Walmart because I feel the negativity in the air, and it makes me sick.
Sure.
I work for a hospital, and you know, I'm an engineer for a hospital. Anytime I go to the ER, I feel the pain. You know, I feel people's pain. I hate going there, you know, because I feel sick.
Yeah.
And people always ask me randomly. They literally stop me and goes, can you help me? He goes, how do you know I can help you? You know, like, how do you know? I don't want it. I don't want this. You know, there's people that are seeking this. There's people that desperate want to see something. I don't want to see anything. You know?
Yeah.
You know, all my life I've been haunted, literally haunted, and I don't want to see. I don't want my kids to experience what I experienced.
Sure.
No child should. You know, that's why when I hear people in your show, that are, you know, they sound crazy, but I understand what they mean.
Sure.
Because, you know, I've been through that. You understand when I was 10 years old, I was gonna get thrown in the psych ward.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this thing was attacking me, and who would believe that? Seriously.
Sure.
Like, who believes a ghost clown? I don't even believe it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah, but it's one of those things. It sounds like it's almost like a family thing with you too, where there's certain family members who have this gift, and you're obviously one of them.
Yeah, my aunt Nico she is a witch. Mm-hmm. She's one of those people that who in Spanish they call them curanderas, which is like a witch doctor, you know. Mm-hmm. And me and her, she likes talking to me because she says I have the same thing she does. And I believe her, but I don't want to. I don't want to. You know, I refuse to accept that. You know, because not that I don't believe. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. I know I've seen some crazy. I just don't want to because my mom's grandfather used to tell me, if you believe in this stuff, it will hurt you. You know, So I choose not to believe. And that's why I always tell myself I'm a hesitant psychic. I don't want to be psychic. I don't.
Sure.
You know, people, I don't know why people want to go seek this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't know once they open this door, you can't shut it down, you know? It's one of those things that, you know, people, that's why I always like listening to your stories. I want to hear people, I want to see people that experience the same thing I do, you know? Like, I believe these things attach to people. Whatever these things are, they attack to kids. You know, like they attacked me all my life. You know, since I was a little kid, they attacked me.
Sure.
You know, I used to hate spending the night in people's houses because I used to see crazy things. You know, and I never told people this. You know, like I don't want, hey, your grandma's here. You know, I hear, you know.
Yeah.
Or I see this evil thing staring out the window. You know, or I see this evil dog looking at me. You know.
Sure.
You know, like I told her, there's worse things than ghosts out there. Way, way worse things than ghosts. And you know, I do believe that you know like when people see Bigfoot, you know, I don't believe in that. I don't think Bigfoot's real, you know, but I know what I saw. You know, I know that there was a zombie clown thing mm-hmm. out there, and I know people don't believe me. It's fine. I don't care, but I saw it.
Sure.
And it changed my life forever. You know, you understand when something like that, you see something like that, your reality gets shattered.
Of course.
Because it's no longer, you're not by yourself anymore. There's something out there.
Exactly.
Raining on people, you know, because I believe a lot of kids go missing because these things, whatever these things are, they get them, you know.
Sure.
You know, I remember my dad, he used to tell me that. He used to be scared of closets and under his bed. You know, my dad's psychic. My dad's actually like really like super psychic. My mom too. My mom's like what they call an empath. Whenever I'm sick or I'm scared, my mom calls me on the dot.
And she knows, yeah.
She knows like something's wrong with you. I had a dream about you. She's like, crap, mom. I can never lie to her, you know, because she knows. She knows me too well, you know. Mm-hmm. And I believe I inherited both those things from my parents, you know. And it's one of those things that, you know. I actually grabbed a ghost once. I don't know if I told you this, but when my wife was pregnant with my first child, we moved into this house with the one I'm living in right now. And we used to get attacked by this man with a beard, and he happened to be the owner of this house, and he had passed away in this house. He had a heart attack, and he died all of a sudden. And this guy would attack us, you know, at night. We would hear him talking. We would smell his smoke and stuff. But he was attacking my wife, pregnant, you know. And one night, he I don't know what made me do this, but I woke up and I grabbed something. I grabbed his neck. And when I grabbed him, I remember his eyes open, like, oh my God, you're grabbing me, you know. I remember he felt slimy. Like, he felt like when you grab a fish, you know,
mm-hmm.
it felt not scaly, but it just felt like slimy. I grabbed him and he evaporated. He disappeared. And I told him, look, man, if we're going to be sharing this house, I respect you. You know, like, I don't want to fight you. He goes, are you welcome here? I don't want to do this, you know, rest of my life. And he stopped. He literally stopped.
Wow.
And I know for sure now, you know, I downloaded that app, that ghost box there.
Yeah.
And I asked him, hey, man. And I was watching a boxing fight. And I asked him, hey, man, who do you think's going to win? And it was a Mexican guy and it was a black guy. And he goes, Mexican. I was like, what? So now we have conversations, you know, and I have it on. And he tells, cut the lawn. I was like, what? He wants me to like do chores, you know, like. He tells me fix the roof, you know, like he tells me stuff, you know, like I hate cutting the lawn. And he literally gets in the ghost box and goes, cut the lawn. like I tell my wife doesn't believe in this thing. You know,
yeah.
He's telling me to cut the lawn, you know,
yeah.
Cut the shrubs. I was like, okay. No, you know, one time I had my baby, my little one, he must have been like 4 months old. And I was doing something and I left him in the tub on the thing. And he goes, check the baby. I was like, and I totally forgot I had the baby in the tub. Mm-hmm. And I was like, so I ran over there and the water was about to get to his neck.
Yeah.
But the person told me, check the baby, you know, check the baby. He gave me a heads up, so I ran back and I grabbed him, you know, and you know, now I think he looks after the house, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I have another story for the same guy. Somebody broke into my house once and I left the door open. You know, I literally left the front door open because I was so in a hurry and they were trying to kick the door down. They're trying to kick the door down and the door would not budge. And the cops came and the cop just pushed the door open like this. And he goes, hold on, hold on. He goes, you weren't in the house? He goes, no. So who, he goes, the door was unlocked. He goes, who kept the door from opening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We think it was the ghost. We think the ghost was protecting the house.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
there's no explanation for that.
It's telling you those things about the house, cut the lawn, check the roof. It sounds like it's very protective of the house and you as its inhabitants. So, Oscar, thank you so much for sharing your stories with us. I know you have more. We would love to have you back on again. It's been great. So we will definitely reach out and we'll do this again some other night.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We really, really appreciate it. Happy Halloween, and we'll talk again soon.
I watch it at work all day.
Well, I'm glad that we can keep you company. You are awesome. Thank you so much for the stories.
No problem, man. Thank you.
All right, have a good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And we should mention, too, those are not children EVPs that we're hearing in the background. His children were in the background on this call
a
little bit. So just before that starts going awry. But, well, that was creepy as hell.
Yeah. It sure was. I don't know which one's my favorite now.
Happy Halloween, everyone. There you go. Oscar in Dallas.
Thank you so much. That was such a treat to be able to talk to him about it.
That was creepy as hell. So hopefully everyone had a good scare for Halloween and hope you enjoyed our Halloween specials here for you. The 2-hour edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. Real Ghost Stories from Real People 2014. If you're, like I said, new to the show, we do this every single day, Monday through Friday, year round. So if you want more ghost stories, you don't have to wait till next Halloween. They're coming back for you again on Monday. Or if you're an EPP, you get that bonus email on Saturday with some extra episodes in it. So if you want in on that, sign up right now at Real Ghost Stories Online. $5 a month is all that is. You get a bonus episode every single week and the satisfaction of knowing you are keeping our show alive. So happy Halloween, everyone.
Very much so.
For Jenny Brewski and myself, Tony Brewski, thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Don't eat too many Snickers. They'll make you throw up.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.